Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're just thankful tonight that you're here with us to meet us, Lord, to open up this word to us, Lord.
Thank you.
We know that it's by the power of your Holy Spirit that anything that is good is accomplished, Lord. We know that you want us to get into this word, Lord, and you enabled and provided the space and opportunity for this, Lord, so we're thankful for that. We're also asking that you lift up the hearers of the word tonight, Lord, myself included, Lord, and we're just thankful for this again in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I'm just going to read this and we'll talk some more. So, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. All right, that's 2 Corinthians 6. And I read from the NIV version for that. But that's kind of the tone of what the Lord put on my heart. And really just that last part of it, that now is the day of salvation. And so I think salvation is a big thing for us. And I think sometimes, I know for myself, I think I'll get into how I was saved. But I remember being saved at age 7. And I actually remember how I felt before I was saved and how bad it was for me. And and this is crazy, but I tried to commit murder before 7. And literally, I remember this, and suicide before 7, before I was saved. And it was a bad thing, a bad situation, but once I got saved, I could just remember that burden being lifted completely off of me, all right? And that was a done thing. And that was at age 7, like I said. But since then, I could tell you now, boy, did I need saved some more, right? Every day, every day. And that's where I stand today, needing salvation, you know? And so I think some scriptures will illustrate that to us tonight that, you know, we need salvation, and we're awaiting a salvation. And like I said, the scriptures kind of support that. So if you guys would turn over to 2 Thessalonians, we're going to look at chapter 2. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in belief of truth. All right, and so one thing I just kind of had my brain thinking was the fact that we give thanks for each other. I'm looking at some brothers around here who, you know, I can honestly just thank for and give praise to God for it. And it's not because they're good people, or it's because they just love me. And I know that. And it's like an unadulterated pure love that is the direct line of Jesus. And I know this because he confirms it, you know. And it's not for a way to, like, puff up anybody. But, you know, Pastor Jesse's my brother. You guys know that? And, you know, he's my pastor, but he's my brother first. And that's kind of how, you know, when I first met Pastor Jesse, it was me and my brother, actually. He came up to me and my brother at camp one time and was just, you know, introduced himself and said he was thankful that we had a heart for the Lord and for the Word. And that's how I first met Pastor Jesse. And ever since then, we had a good relationship because he prayed for me, and, you know, back and forth. But, you know, I was thinking today about how I think Pastor Jesse's reading my diary, because every sermon he preaches is straight, exactly, perfectly for me. And I really believe that. But, you know, that's how God makes us encourage each other, you know. He makes us that way so that you can't go at it on your own. But, you know, Paul always gives thanks for his brothers, you know, regardless of their situation and what atrocity some of these churches had. He was thankful for his brothers, you know, and for the encouragement and love that they displayed. And, you know, we are members of one body. And even though we're so diverse in whatever category you can divide people up, I mean, we're Christians and we come together, you know. But there's only one unity when we get together, and that's of the Holy Spirit. We can get together and do a lot of things. I mean, like I said, I've been to every type of church, I think, that has a title. And talk about circus without tents, right? But when there's a unity of a spirit, of the Spirit, you know, I say listen to that. You can hear that because you have ears for that. And sometimes, I don't recommend this, but sometimes, you know, God will encourage you with a brother who you never thought would encourage you and how they would do it. And I was just thinking about how, you know, those colds, when they get away from the rest of them, they cool out real fast. They burn out. But we need each other. And, all right, and that's my tangent on that part. All right, but the next thing that the Lord kind of had me thinking about is how God chose us. And you can think about, one version said that, they put it this way, that the first fruits of his salvation, right? The first fruits. We know Christ is the first fruits, but if you think about it, you know, this is kind of indicating something else. And it's more than just initial salvation, okay? I'm going to reread this part again in verse 13. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, okay? From the beginning, okay? Think about that. Pastor was talking about that, how, you know, your life was put together in a way that you would come to Christ. I believe that. And not just come to him, you know, to know that you're saved and everything, because that's not a big deal. In a sense, I mean, it's a big deal, right? But not really when you compare it to what all of what God wants us to have. You know, just getting to heaven is not it, you know. And it's a tragedy when a lot of Christians I talk to, that's the thing with them. It's trying to get to heaven. And, you know, we want to get all of what God has for us, you know. We want all of it. But he chose us for that in the beginning, you know. If you look at Ephesians 2:10 real quick. Ephesians 2:10. That's on page 1558 in my Bible. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Right, that we should walk in. Kind of like Pastor said this morning, we should walk in them. Right, get to walking. But the thing is, back to our scripture in 2 Thessalonians, it says that, chosen you to salvation through, right? It's kind of like grace through faith, right? Okay? But this is the sanctification of the Spirit. Okay? So we know that everything is grace through faith, right? It's there. The grace is there already, right? What is it that, you know, I used to have such a hard time thinking about how the God I know has ranks, because he was such a gracious God in the way I see him. He is. But how is there ranks? Well, this has to be it. How much are we going to take? right? And he even gives us faith, right? That not of yourself, right? It's the gift of God. And so this is how it is done, though, okay? Because like I was saying, this salvation that we need every day, now, this is how it comes to us, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Those preordained good works, okay? That's not my schedule. That's not my daily agenda. You know, I have a list of things I need to do that are good every day, right? I need to organize that, plan it out, make sure it's on time, all these things. That doesn't work like that, okay? The Holy Spirit, just think about it. Why do you think the Holy Spirit is the least talked about among Christians out of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit's the least known. It's the kind of most mysterious, if you will. It's because the Holy Spirit doesn't magnify himself in the least bit, right? It's all about Christ and all about Jesus and what he's doing and what he's done and how he wants to do it for us, okay? He's the agent, you know? You think about the guide Rebecca had through that desert on the camels, right? You think about all the things that the Lord leads us through. We need the guide, right? He's the guide, it says in John. Right, the guide, the Holy Spirit that provides these good works for our lives, you know. I mean, we can do a lot of things, right? But without Christ, you can do nothing. You can get busy. Trust me, I know. I always know about a lot of things people could do because I'm one of those people, you know, that likes to. I don't want to be. I mean, there's something in me that I know Christ put in me that he wants me to win it all, you know? I want that. And so sometimes, you know, they used to talk about me being so zealous for the Lord. And sometimes I wish I had that zeal or think it left or whatever. But really what it was with me was that I was so full of myself. I thought I was chasing after the Lord, but it was just me going after things and, you know, trying to impress people or whatever it was. That wasn't the works of those preordained good works that we walk in, you know. That's the sanctification process that only the Holy Spirit does, okay? And so that's the thing, you know, we do need saved. We do need to be sanctified daily, right? Okay. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1 real quick. I'm going to go up to actually 1 Corinthians 1:17. I'm going to start there. Okay, and this is Paul, of course. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, how could the cross of Christ ever be made of none effect, right? Unless we don't believe, right? Okay, it's just like, you know, you think about how the children of Israel, you know, they seen all these things, right? All of these things, you know. They even put the blood on the door. They left on dry land through the Red Sea. All of these things. But you know what? Their bones bleached in the desert, didn't they? Okay. And I think it's in Hebrews where it talks about how it was made void in a sense, right? What God did kind of was made void because they didn't believe. That's the same thing here. The cross of Christ should be made of none effect. How effective is the cross? It's so effective, right? It's the only effect that a Christian has when you think about it. But verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness, okay? But to us which are saved, it's the power of God, okay? To us which are saved, it's the power of God. One version puts it this way, and I had to actually look this up, and I'm not very smart, guys, but I have this book that's called a Greek, it's a Greek word study Bible. It's only the New Testament. And so, like, when you look up the words, it's like, you can, I figured it out somehow with the Holy Spirit how to make this make sense, but it kind of reads like this. And one translation puts it, but unto us which are being saved, it's the power of God. Isn't it that we need to believe currently? That's okay to have an ing on that, right? Being, because we are, and we need that. Now is the day. Now, right now. Okay, I think if we get complacent, you think about it. We started off with 2 Corinthians 2:6, where it says, don't make void. I'm going to read it again. Don't make vain. In this one version. Okay, well then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Can you receive grace of God in vain? How is it vain? How is it made void? Unless you don't believe, right? Grace is there. It's already it's the gift. Okay, think about it. God did not withhold any good thing from us ever. It's all there for us. All of it is activated when we believe God. And he helps us to believe God. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he's pointing us to. Okay, every step. Okay, that's now. Now salvation, okay? Just like here, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, okay, foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, which now is a current thing, okay? We need that. And of course, you guys, like I said, don't ever get it twisted. We're saved forever, and heaven's a sure thing for me. I can't wait to get there, but you know what? You know what? God gave me a vision one time. And I wanted to die, and I didn't want to live any longer. But, you know, there's something for me to get, okay? That vision wasn't complete until I actually received it. And in order for that to happen, I got to take that today, tomorrow, if he tarries, you know. What's he waiting for anyway? I wondered, what does tarry mean? Tarry mean? It means he's waiting. Why? Okay? You know what it is? I feel like it's for me. Okay, till I get fully matured and to the full stature and measure of Christ. That's what is, I mean, I don't see any other reason for him to, I'm not being selfish either, because that's all of us, right? You think about it. I really do believe if I didn't have a reason to be here, God wouldn't let me be here. I mean, it's the truth. I'm not too fond of this world, but, you know, not to say anything else, but it's truth. He has a lot for us to gain right now. He has a lot for us to get right now. And, you know, it's not going to happen unless we believe God. And, you know, I don't want to make it sound like that's it really anything on you to do. Because, like I said, the Holy Spirit, don't you know the Holy Spirit will give you dreams if necessary? Right? He will. All kinds of things. Don't try to limit how he'll approach you and how he knows everything perfectly. Okay? God sent him. Okay? And yes, Christians, we need the Holy Spirit. It's not, he's with us when we're saved, but he wants to be in us when we accept that. It's there. It's there for us, okay? But us who are being saved, okay? And so this word salvation, of course, it means safety. It could also be implied as rescue. It's number 4991 in the concordance. It's the same one word that we're going to look at next in Romans 1:16. So again, we're going to see this pattern again here. Now there's just this Christian group that they make music, and like their little symbol is 116, and they get it from here. And they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But I think they stopped there. Okay? I don't want to stop there. Okay? I want the whole thing. Okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For, listen to this, it's the power of God unto salvation. And look, here's the pattern again. To everyone that believes. Right? You have to believe the gospel. Okay? I'm telling you guys, I know this for a fact that I can hear a lot of the gospel, right? I can have it on in my car, at work, in the shower, when I'm back in my car, whatever. But unless I believe it, it doesn't help, okay? That's the only, prereq, the only thing that you need for the word to be activated is for you to believe it. Okay, it's there. And again, he helps us with that faith, right? Lord, help my unbelief. Okay, because that word is, it is the power. And I was thinking about this, you know, I'm convinced that in your Christian life, everyone sees at least one miracle, at least one. I'm thinking of several right now. I'm talking about miracles. Some things I don't even want to share because it's a miracle like that. But, you know, and I know it's like that for a lot of people. But at the same time, you know, the greatest miracle that ever was done was what the Holy Spirit's doing in me now to get me ready for that. That's the greatest miracle. It really is. Okay? Because it's not just one-time thing. I remember when we got in our wreck, and I got to say this, all right? I was talking with somebody about the Lord, and this person actually knew about the wreck we were in and all this, and I think he just knew what was coming. He was like, well, I know you were in a miracle, you think you were, and all this stuff, and he was like, you know, sometimes people get in wrecks and survive, and like, yeah, it's still by his grace regardless. But you know what I started thinking about and what I told him? I was like, yeah, you know what? I caught on the Lord right then and there on the spot. And I guarantee you this, the Lord was healing Jen back there. Like, have you guys ever seen that X-Men Wolverine? He has that healing power. I'm not lying. This was really happening right there on the spot. And like, you know, that was a miracle. They sent the way to Flight for Life and everything, right? But you know what? I was praising God and calling on him at that point. But there's mornings that I wake up and the only thing that's up is my coffee pot. And I'm praising God with more intensity and fervency. And no one's there. And then I just go to work and deal with what I deal with every day. You know? That's more important to me in a sense. Because that's what I want every day. You see, you know, God's challenging me with consistency. You know that? Because it's an everyday thing. You know, every day. Now is the time of my salvation. Now. Okay? He's at hand. Nature's calling out about that. Look at nature, you know. They're all of creation's moaning, right? People who don't believe in Jesus, what's going on? That's their question. What, you know, but you know, I want to see Jesus face to face soon. He's coming soon, right? And you know, if there's one thing that I want to see, you know, I want to be able to be in the midst of the throne with a lot of you people. And I want to be able to say, this is what it does right here. You know, I want that because, you know, that's what he's pushing me towards because I want to be that. He showed it to me. You know, he promised me this. You know, he promised me that. And that's what I want. Okay. But so you have to believe. Okay. And been talking a lot about this grace and and you know, to some people, if you're a grace Christian, you have a cop-out religion. Have you guys ever heard that? And you know, that doesn't sit well with me because people always want to see righteousness and all this stuff. You know, they say they feel like that grace stuff is just preliminary, but once you get into it, then it's all about righteousness. But I read that grace reigns through righteousness. Have you guys read that? It's over in, well, let's go over to Romans 5. And actually, I'm going to actually back you guys up, if you don't mind, to Romans 3. And we'll start at verse 20. Okay. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, okay? No flesh shall be justified, okay? Justified and righteous are pretty much the same exact word when you look it up. So just think about it. No one's made righteous, right, by observing the law. Well, Most people say duh because I don't have to go cut a goat and burn it on this and do all this stuff and all this stuff that the law actually required, right? Most Christians at least have some belief of that. But here's the thing. You know what people do? What's right in their own law, in their own selves, right? What's right in their own eyes. Doesn't that become a law unto yourself? Isn't that like your own system, right? Okay, there's a problem with that, all right? Because you know how I was brought up, and to a certain extent, you know, if you get it, if you do it all wrong, you get it all right. It's how they actually literally taught us, you know? You know, that's the truth. And if you believe that system, then not only, let's just say this. God loves everybody, all right, regardless of where you're from, okay? Of course, I'm not going to condemn and judge somebody for what they're taught and how their system of belief is. Of course, it's false, right? It's not the truth of God. But you understand that, you know, we live in a society and a world that's really messed up, but yet there's still a form of godliness and a system of moral codes that condemns people for certain things. But you know what? It doesn't matter. All have fell short. Isn't that what this says here? We didn't even read that yet. But you know, all are guilty. All fell short under his sight of the glory of God. But look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay? The law and the prophets witness this. You guys remember on the Mount Transfiguration over in Matthew 9 or Mark 9? Remember that? It was who was that with them? Peter and John, right? Was there someone else? James. And they went up to the mount and Jesus was changed there in front of them. And you remember one thing I remember about that? Okay, it was Peter who was, they were scared. And Peter was like, should I make a tabernacle or a tent for you, for Jesus, for Moses, and for Elijah, right? And just think about what happened. Something happened and God spoke, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased, right? And they only seen one. Hear him, right? Hear him is what he said. Okay, they seen Elijah and Moses, the law and prophets, right? And all they testified of was Jesus. That's all that they seen after that. That's this, okay? That's this, that they, that's what God wants us to see, okay? Because they both witness, okay? In verse 22, Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith. See the pattern of believing, okay? God did it all. He wants us to be sure that we know that and that we accept that, okay? But here's where it is. We need to believe. And it doesn't change, okay? It doesn't change that pattern of grace and believing, grace and faith. It doesn't change, okay? You don't ever outgrow that, okay? And I'm going to believe until, you know, God help me too, because not as though I didn't attain, and God knows I trip a lot. But you know what I want? I feel like that's the thing. Because look at Abraham and the examples that we heard about of them. They failed too, right? But what's the difference? I think it's that they wanted it, okay? They wanted that above, right? God will turn your mistakes and your trips. Maybe you fail because someone else looked at you too high. I think that could be the situation sometimes. I mean, I don't know. But the thing is this, okay? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, okay? That's us too. You know, we want to reign through righteousness, okay? So if you skip over to 5 now. Okay, then we'll just start at the beginning, and we're going to skip one more time. Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Again, that's not the peace of God, but peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith, right, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope, okay, of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's something about that being righteous that makes you rejoice. When you really understand what that means, you know, we rejoice in that, okay? And it's because we believed the grace that was there, that's there now. All right, go over to verse 21. Okay. Just as sin didn't reign unto death, and again, there's no other way. The works of the flesh is death too. Okay, it's just the truth. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. I skipped a little bit. Okay, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Okay, where sin did abound, grace did abound much more, it says in the verse before that. Okay, but now, even so, grace might reign through righteousness. Okay, we're talking about reigning now, right? Don't let people be able to say for a reason. I mean, I feel like some people could about me, you know. I want people to be able to say, you know, he's weird or whatever. Oh, that's fine. But you know what? That guy loved the Lord. He knew Jesus. You know, he's one of those. If anything negative after Christian, that's okay to me. But, you know, that's what I want to be heard of or said. As if what people think of me counts, because it doesn't, okay? I have one judge, and guess what? I'm not waiting to be judged on that great white throne judgment. It's happening today. You know that? And you know what it's based off of? It's not even a judgment. He's basically just rewarding my faith, right? And that's what it is. So we're on a reward system. And I guarantee you, you don't want to suffer loss. There's some that are saved like that. You know, I got this guy on an airplane, this old Southern Colonel Sanders white guy. I used to catch flights out here. Back in the day, I could catch a flight for $65 one way. And so I used to come out here when I lived in Atlanta to see Jen and to also come to church and camps. And I even flew to Kansas City a couple times when they used to take a bus way out there to Kansas City. But anyway, one time I was flying on one of those flights, and this guy, he was just leaving some convention, and we were talking about being saved and all this, and somehow it got onto the fact that he didn't believe that you were saved forever, right? But then we went over to that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about wood, hay, and stubble. Remember that? Only gold, precious stones, and silver is going to last. But then it says wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn, but he himself will be saved, even though as by fire, you know? What a loss, right? What a loss for that to happen, you know? Don't let that be said, especially knowing what we know. I feel like the pastor's right on point when he's, well, at least for my life, you know that? You know, there's one thing that I know, and that's when the Holy Spirit's convicted my heart, you know? That's okay. I'm not going to be ashamed of that, because that's the power of God right there. When that word is convicted my heart, you know that I must need a flame on it, right? To burn off those impurities. And it also shines up the good stuff, makes it better, right? It's the truth. I'm not going to run from that. I'm going to accept that, you know, by his grace. You know, but so yeah, let's go back over to 2 Thessalonians to close it out. Going to go back to 2. Okay, I'm going to read from the NIV version again. I'm going to read the same scripture, so 2:13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord because from the beginning God has chosen you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, okay? And again, that's the power right there, okay? That's the power, the gospel, that you might share in his glory, that you might share in the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's kind of how I just want to close it tonight, okay? That's what the gospel is calling us to. Every time I get up here, I feel like I say that, you know, and it's good because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be glorified in him. I guarantee you that's above all and everything else, okay? You know what? Could you do that if your job was to push a broom for the rest of your life? Is that a bad thing? Okay, what about it? I feel like we struggle with our status, right? But why? Don't you know what you are to God and him? It's a lot more than what this world can offer us. Any prestige, you know? And I don't know, anything, how the world looks at us, you know? They go for a crown that's corruptible, right? Any crown, any accolade, really. It is corruptible, but don't get me wrong. God does elevate people to positions or whatever in the world, but that's not the reason why he does it, you know? He's working out something that we can't know about right now. I guarantee you that. But I guarantee you it's something that, you know, everything is working for my glorification in my life right now. Everything is working towards that. That's why this gospel is coming to me. I think of it this way, you know. I want to give God glory now because one day he's going to let all of his glory be seen through me, Lord willing. All of it. They will know he loves me. They will. And, you know, so strive for that. I guess kind of in summary, just, you know, believe, keep believing. That's what it is. Without faith, whatever's not done in faith is sin. You know, so if you want to be sin free, you better get to believing God. You know, he's a perfect God, and he's a perfecter of those who believe, right? So let's keep doing that, guys, until we see him face to face. All right, so I'll close this out. Thank you, Lord, just for tonight, Lord, and more importantly for your word, Lord. We know that your word is going to last forever, Lord, if nothing else does, God. So just increase us in you, Lord, if you tarry, Lord. And we're thankful for all of this, and we're looking forward to what you do have for us. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus.